The assault on the American auto industry, believe me, is over. It's over.
From the beginning, the Trump administration has cast itself as an ally of the auto industry.
I think as an industry, we're excited about working together with the president and his administration on tax policies, on regulation, and on trade to really create a renaissance in American manufacturing.
That was then Ford CEO Mark Field speaking outside the White House in January 2017. One policy that automakers were eager to work on with President Trump was an Obama-era rule that created new standards for tailpipe emissions. Under those guidelines, by 2025, car companies would be expected to produce cars that average over 50 miles per gallon. Here's Coral Davenport, an energy and environment correspondent for The New York Times.
It basically forces automakers to aggressively start ramping up the fuel economy of vehicles, investing heavily in producing electric, hybrid, and high fuel economy vehicles. And the ultimate outcome is that it cuts U.S. greenhouse gas emissions about the equivalent of 2 years of U.S. greenhouse gas emissions.
Coral's been reporting on President Trump's plans to drastically roll back those Obama-era standards. And while you might think that that is good news for the auto industry, last week, 17 of the biggest automakers from the U.S. and around the world wrote to President Trump telling him to reconsider. I spoke with Coral to find out more about what the auto industry is asking for from the White House and why car companies agreed to the Obama-era rule in the first place.
The Obama administration said this is an incredibly ambitious mandate. The automakers agreed to it in part because at the time, the administration was still bailing them out after the financial meltdown. And so they were getting huge loans from the administration, which is how they got brought to the table. But they said it's going to be very hard to meet this. And we would like to go back, maybe not get it all wiped out, but essentially just get some wiggle room, maybe get a little more time, maybe get, you know, be able to sort of trade off and get some credit for some other good environmental things that we're doing. We just don't want it to be like quite so tough and quite so ambitious. And so when President Trump came in, the CEOs of the big three came to him and said, hey, you know, we've got this Obama era mandate. Could we sort of figure out, you know, some way where it's just not quite as hard? And of course, President Trump campaigned on being a champion of these sort of bedrock traditional American manufacturing industries, the auto industry more than anything else, and took it and ran with it, basically put forward a proposal saying, we're going to roll this almost all the way back, you know, to the equivalent of having almost no regulation whatsoever. And that's where things got weird.
So the automakers signed a letter, right? A bunch of different automakers signed a letter to President Trump. What is it that they're looking for specifically? I mean, why is it that they're... I know one of the things they're worried about is sort of having different standards in different states, and they're saying that that would be bad for business, right?
Yeah. So what happened is Trump comes in, the automakers go to him and say, hey, we're hoping you could sort of loosen and soften it and make it a little bit easier for us. However, the Obama mandate also came into being through a deal that was cut with the state of California. The Obama emissions requirements actually mirror a state-level set of emissions requirements put in place in California. California has a special deal under the law, under the 1970 Clean Air Act, where they get to make their own stronger state-level standards than national federal standards if they want. And 13 other states also follow this. And these states, led by California, have made very clear, hey, President Trump, if you roll back these standards, we're going to keep these aggressive Obama-level standards, which are our state-level standards, and we're going to sue. We're going to sue to keep them. And that is what the automakers absolutely dread. The states that will sue to keep their higher state-level standards represent about a third of the U.S. auto market. And so if you have a scenario where there's about a third of the market has one set of emission standards, and then the rest of it has a completely different set of standards, and there will be a lawsuit, it's entirely possible that the states could sue to keep their standards in place and sue to put the federal standard back in place or not, or something in between. And automakers need to be planning out their models of what they're going to build and how they're going to sell and what they're going to do years and years in advance. And so the Trump proposal to roll it all back creates this scenario where there's an expectation of lawsuits and litigation going on for years and years, probably ending up at the Supreme Court, with creating sort of total market uncertainty. It also could create, indeed, this kind of split market with one set of states, you know, and these aren't necessarily states that are all next to each other. So it kind of would create a patchwork where you could have a mix of states that have one standard and a mix of states that have other standards. This is the total nightmare scenario that the automakers absolutely do not want.
Well, and also on Friday, a White House spokesman said that the administration is going to go forward with finalizing this rule change anyway, despite the letter, despite the opposition from automakers. Coral, what does the timeline look like for that so far? And have you heard differently?
So EPA Administrator Andrew Wheeler gave a speech last week in which he said that he anticipates the final rule to be out by the end of the month, end of June. That is at odds with everything that I am hearing in my own reporting about what is being worked on with this. What I'm told from sort of the people who are actually preparing the rule is, you know, there's all these sort of like legal justification documents they have to do. They haven't done all of that. They're not wrapping up. They're not at a point where they could just put this out in a couple weeks with a bow on it, that there's still a lot more work to do. And so a more realistic timeframe is maybe end of the summer, maybe even September. If sort of things drag out that long, maybe it's possible that there could be a deal, although it's hard to see. I mean, this president in particular relishes, you know, both pushing back, kind of antagonizing those who antagonize him. And of his many antagonists, one of his favorites is the state of California. Frankly, it's hard to see how a deal could be reached. But my reporting, at least, is showing that the final plan is still a couple months off, so anything can happen.
Also, just to round it out here, at the top, we mentioned that this is really a response to the Obama-era regulations that were some of the most significant, if you will, in trying to combat climate change. Coral, if this Trump administration rollback does go into effect, what would the environmental impact be?
Oh, it would be tremendous. This was the most substantive greenhouse gas cutting policy that not just the Obama administration, but the federal government has ever put forward. It would have cut, you know, about a million tons of emissions. So if this rollback goes into effect, even if 13 states keep higher state level emissions in place, that would not wipe out the Obama regulation entirely, but it would wipe out probably about two-thirds of the impact. So we would see about two-thirds more of those emissions going back into the atmosphere.
Coral Davenport is an energy and environment correspondent for The New York Times. Coral, thank you.
Great to be with you, Tanzina. Thank you.